Thank you, praise team. I am thankful for that. That is a good word, a good message, and very, very beautifully done. Thank you guys so much. Well, today, as Clay said, this is the Sunday, the Lord's Day, before Thanksgiving, and I certainly hope that you guys are planning, you know, to give thanks this week, to be especially grateful for all the many blessings that you've been given. And you know, it's times like these, the times of giving thanks and turning our attention to the many specific ways the Lord has been so good to us, that we actually grow in our understanding of something we talked about a couple of weeks ago, and that is that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. I mean, sometimes we got to make a little effort, but it's not too difficult to look at your life, to look at all the blessings you've received and say, you know what, God really does reward. He is truly a rewarder of those who seek Him. And in His grace, the grace that they just sung about there, He is also very good even to those who do not seek Him. You know, I think about the fact that, every sin we commit, every word of rebellion, every thought that is against the Lord in our hearts, in our minds, and in the culture and in the world, all of those things are done through the gifts that He gives us, with the air that we breathe, with the mouths that we use, with the brains that we think with. Even one who might shake his or her fist at God shakes his or her fist with the fist that God has given. And so it's amazing. In fact, Jesus even said in Matthew 5:45 of the Sermon on the Mount, He said, "For He makes His sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust." God is good to all at all times. This morning I want to fan the flames of Thanksgiving. That's the title of my message, and it's just a message of Thanksgiving this morning to focus on. And normally when I'm either doing a series or even something like this, I'll come up with a title, I'll send it to Nancy, our administrative assistant, and I'll say, "Nancy, can you come up with a picture, something that's, you know, focuses on fanning the flames?" She goes, "You got any thoughts?" And, you know, a lot of times I'll give her an assignment, and I say, "I have no thoughts. I have nothing to contribute. What do you think?" And then we'll kind of go back and forth. And so she started looking up a few things, and so I said, "Okay, we need something for Thanksgiving and fanning the flames of Thanksgiving." So the first picture she came up with was this, and I said, "Well, I'm not sure that's exactly the message that I want to convey, but I do hope that for you ladies, maybe that's something you can, well, I hope it's something you can't relate to. I hope that is not the Thanksgiving experience you have of looking into the oven there and just going, this is not going to be a good Thanksgiving." And then the men are kind of more, you know, the more progressive men today are more equal opportunity in their efforts to contribute to the turkey. And what do most men do? You know, they try that deep fried turkey experience. And I think a lot of times it ends up something like that. And I don't know if you've seen some of these videos, and you just, and here's a, every man wants, every real man wants to deep fry turkey. I'm telling you, he does. And every real man says it's not going to end like this. And those are famous last words for so many of us. But I said, "Well, okay, Nancy, I'll tell you what, people are not going to get that, or that's not going to convey the message. How about a more pleasant message for my title, Fanning the Flames of Thanksgiving?" There you go. That's what it ought to be, right? That's what it's going to end up being. In fact, I went over here and I taste tested all the desserts that are over there this morning. So it's going to be good. Y'all can know, you know, if you see a little chunk missing, it's you'll know. But anyway, it does look good over there. And thank you guys so much for all your contributions. And I appreciate the deacons and their setup and their preparation and ordering of the barbecue and all that good stuff, but we're looking forward to that. But this morning I want us to try to help us fan the flame of Thanksgiving in our lives by looking at both the call to be thankful, to be a truly thankful people, as Clay said, and then with just a few reasons, I've got 7 reasons for us to be filled with gratitude to God this morning. We're going to be in several texts. Most of them I'm going to have on the screen, so you're not going to have to flip a whole lot, but if you would, we're going to start with Psalm 107. So take your Bible, turn to about the dead center of the book, find Psalm 107. If you're using the church Bible that Carlos referenced, that's page 506, should get you to Psalm 107. We're going to look at just the first 2 verses there, and then we're going to move on to 1 Thessalonians here in a minute. But before we look at the first 2 verses of Psalm 107, let's pray and ask the Lord to do a work in us this morning. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you so much for everything. Everything we have comes from you. I'm reminded of the scripture that says basically that everything you have comes from God, so why do you act as if you if you made it yourself? Why do you act as if it came from you? It doesn't. You are the creator of God. We are dust. We come from the dirt of the ground, and you breathe into us the breath of life and make us living creatures. So everything we have, we acknowledge it comes from you. And Lord, will you please forgive us for how we deviate from that, how we are forgetful people. We forget all good things come from you. We forget that we owe you our very lives. But Lord, as we come in here today, we collectively say thank you. And Lord, even that song that was just sung, I think about repentance when I hear that song. I think about a turning. I think about that there's nothing we can do about the past, and to leave the past behind, to leave it in the rearview mirror, but we can do everything about right now and going forward. And so, Father, I pray that today might be a day where we grow in thanksgiving, not just because it's Thanksgiving week, but because we are to be characterized as a truly thankful people, and we have so many reasons to do so. So, God, would you just stir our hearts? Would you give us a fresh appreciation for who you are, what you've done, and what you continue to do, and the future that we have for you? Lord, thank you so much for your wonderful gifts. Thank you for our church family. Thank you for your provision for us for this day and all the days in the past and all the days going forward. We look forward to celebrating that and honoring you today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Psalm 107, verses 1 and 2 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble." Now, I appreciate Carlos referencing Ezra. If you've been here, we spent about 4 or 5 Sundays there in a short study of the book of Ezra. And this psalm really relates to what we just finished studying, because God was bringing his people back to Judah after having been in exile as a result of their sin. And so God has done a redeeming work, and as verse 2 says here in Psalm 107, he has redeemed his people from trouble. And if you read the whole psalm, and I encourage you to do so in your own time, the whole psalm goes on to address 4 ways that God's people were scattered and a variety of trouble that resulted from their sin. And the good news is that in all their trouble, in all the ways they were in trouble, when they cried to the Lord — this is kind of the recurring theme you'll see 4 times in that psalm — when they cried to the Lord, he delivered them from their distress. So as we see here in verse 2, God's redeemed, delivered, and rescued people are to say so. We're to say so. This again kind of goes against this private, private faith, this private religion. How is anybody going to know about the Lord if we keep it all to ourselves? But we're also to be people who say so. We're to be a people who verbalize what God has done for us. And thus verse 1 says, "Give thanks to the Lord." Why? For he is good, and for his steadfast love is something that never ends. It endures forever. Now, the psalmist could have said just that. Could have said, "Give thanks to the Lord, his steadfast love endures forever." But notice he begins with this two-letter little word, "O." And I don't know if you think about that much. I don't know if you walk around, if you're one of those people that's like, "Oh, you know, I just say good morning." I say, "Oh, it's a beautiful morning. Oh, it's a lovely day." I don't know if you say that or not. I don't know if "O" is in our vocabulary that often, but it's right here. I mean, he didn't have to put it in there, but he did. So, and this little "O" adds something. It adds feeling and emotion to the call. So what we have here is a call for God's people to give him thanks and not hold back our feelings on it. You know, I think sometimes we can be very stoic, you know, in our faith and our trust of God, and we love the Lord. And, you know, somebody might say, "Well, why don't you tell your face? Why don't you tell your heart a little bit?" Now, not everybody's like that. Some people wear their hearts in their sleeves, and some people are a lot more reserved. But here you've got this feeling and emotion tied to it. And so we have a call to not hold back in this area. We are a people to be emotionally involved in our expressions of thanksgiving to God. In fact, the old Puritans used to say, they'd talk about stirring up divine affections. In other words, do what you need to do in your quiet time, in your heart, in your mind, to stir up real feelings of love and appreciation for God. And it shouldn't be that difficult, because once you start laying out all the reasons you have to be thankful, and they are limitless, then you have reasons to be moved in such a way. So we're to be people who've been touched personally and emotionally by the goodness and by the love of God. And that should result in God's people being characterized by a lot of things, but among them, thanksgiving. So now that we've read Psalm 107, take your Bible, turn to the right to 1 Thessalonians 5. If you're using the church Bible, it's page 988. 1 Thessalonians 5, so you go Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st, 2nd Thessalonians. So 1 Thessalonians 5, and look with me at three very short verses. Really, it's just one sentence, but three very short verses, verses 16 through 18 of 1 Thessalonians 5. 16 says, rejoice always. 17 says, pray without ceasing. 18 says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And I think that goes well with Psalm 107, 1 and 2. And I believe these verses flow. And based on them, I offer you a one-point message, a one-point sermon this morning. Here's the one point. Overwhelmed by grace. Overwhelmed by grace, the heart of the Christian overflows with thanksgiving. Overwhelmed by grace, the heart of the Christian overflows with thanksgiving. Here in the midst of Paul's instructions to the church at Thessalonica, we have a three verse forming one sentence that is the will of God. You know, sometimes people struggle with the will of God. It's nice to have one of these that says, this is the will of God. So you don't got to wonder about this. This is the will of God for every born again believer. This is God's will for you. And what's included in God's will for you and for me, it's rejoice, it's pray, and it's give thanks. Those three things. And rejoice when? Always. Pray how often? Without ceasing. Give thanks under what conditions? Every one of them, in all circumstances, in all conditions. And to me, when you read that, you gotta go, really? I mean, are you sure? I mean, this is the life God calls us to. Therefore, this is a life that must actually be possible. Now, notice it doesn't say we're to rejoice and pray and give thanks perfectly, but we are to be about these three things. These are three things I think that should distinguish us from so many others in the world, and especially as followers of Jesus and people who are looking to us to be different. I think they expect Christians to be different, but how different we are sometimes, and these kind of instructions may not always go hand in hand. But how is this life possible? How is it possible to live like this? Well, I'm glad you asked. I'm glad you asked. First, notice that each of these three things is in relation to God. These three things are all in relation to God. Rejoice means to be joyful, to be full of joy. And joy comes only from the Lord. Happiness comes from what's happening, but joy is something only that comes from God. That means only Christians can experience real joy. In fact, Scripture says the joy of the Lord is our strength. Doesn't say the joy of the Lord is half your strength, a quarter of your strength, three-fourths of your strength. It says the joy of the Lord is literally your strength. That's where your strength comes from. So you must get your joy, and you got to get it from God. Prayer, we know what prayer is. That's talking directly to God. And Jesus, through his death, burial, and resurrection, has given us access to the Father as a result. And giving thanks in all circumstances points to the one who is over and has literally ordained every one of those circumstances. And once again, that is the Lord. And while each of these actions can happen in the quiet and hidden places of our minds, and I believe it should and it does happen that way, I think it's safe to say that these three actions will also involve our mouths and what's coming out of our mouths. And especially for giving thanks, I believe what we have here is a picture of what comes out of a person based on what's inside of a person. So if we want to have thanksgiving pouring out of our mouth, we have to have reasons for thanksgiving being taken into our hearts. In fact, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, says Jesus in Matthew 12, 34. So, to live a life of thanksgiving, one where genuine gratitude flows from the heart, we need to take in some of the many reasons we have to be thankful to God. And in order to do this, in order to fan the flame of thanksgiving, I want to share seven reasons this morning that you and I have to be thankful if we are saved, if we are born again, followers of Jesus Christ. And so what we're going to do, we're just going to complete the sentence, thank you, Lord, for blank. Thank you, Lord, for blank. And I'm sure if I gave you the rest of this service to fill in that blank as many times as you could possibly do, you'd still be writing when the service time was up. And I want to encourage you to do that. I want to encourage you to fill in your own blank in addition to the seven blanks I'm going to give you this morning. So what we're going to do is that we're going to fan the flame. We're going to start it this morning, and I hope you'll continue it in your own life and maybe in your quiet time. So I got seven reasons to give thanks to the Lord. Number one, thank you, Lord, for life. Thank you, Lord, for life. You were made a special creation of God. I don't know, sometimes you maybe not, you don't feel like that, but you are. You are a special creation of God. There is nobody else like you. God made you. You don't have to exist. He didn't have to make you, but He loves you and He chose to create you. In fact, Psalm 139, 13 through 17 says, "For you formed my inward parts, you knitted me together." I mean, you think about how much care goes into knitting. I think of Barbara Summer and how she knits quilts, and how, and some of our other church members are very good at that as well. And just the time and the care and the personal hands-on involvement that takes. And so, you knitted me together, the psalmist said, in my mother's womb. I praise you. Why? For I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them. So God not only created you special, He has the days numbered. He has your birth date, He has your death date, and as they say, there's the dash in between. And the dash in between is your life, and those days are numbered. Psalmist goes on to say, how precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them? Well, yes, the thoughts of God are precious because those thoughts, the thoughts of the God of the universe, include you. He thought of you, He wanted you, He created you, He made you, and He gave you life. Number two, thank you, Lord, for purpose. You know, what good does it do to have a life if you have no purpose? But that's not the problem for the Christian. So you're here, you exist, but you also exist for a reason. Listen to the words of Colossians 1:16. This is speaking of Jesus Christ. Paul says, for by Him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones, dominions, rulers, or authorities, all things were created through Him and for Him. For Him. That's you. You were made, and you were made for Him. You're not only created by the Lord, but you were created for the Lord. You know, I think about the fact that people all over the world will seek certain education, certain specific training. And you say, well, why do they do that? A lot of times you'll have individuals that, if they do their due diligence, some folks will look up the top companies in the world to work for. So, okay, there's top three or four companies in the world to work for. I want to work for those companies. Well, you might have to have specific education and specific training. And they'll go and they'll seek that out in order to put themselves in a position to apply, hopefully successfully, to work for one of those companies. The best athletes in sports all want to choose the colleges that have the best programs and the best facilities and the best of everything today. Many go on to play for the best professional teams, and some will refuse to play for organizations that are either poorly run or have a record of failure. But if you think about it, what higher calling, church, what higher calling, what greater privilege could one receive than to have the Creator God to want you, to choose you, and to know that you were made by Him and for Him. That places a very different emphasis on how you're made and what gifts you tend to have and how the Lord might use you for His glory. You know, there may be challenges when you and I look in the mirror. I can attest to that. But we can never look in that mirror and say words like random or purposeless ever. We cannot say that. So thank you, Lord, for life. Thank you, Lord, for purpose. Number three, thank you, Lord, for salvation. appreciate Clay's prayer about that this morning. I mean, if we had no other reason to be thankful in all circumstances than the fact that God sent His Son for the purpose of living a perfect life, serving as the perfect sacrifice, taking upon Himself all our sin, and then receiving every drop of God's justice and wrath, a justice and a wrath that we deserve, all so we could be declared righteous, be free of our guilt and our death sentence, and live knowing we'll spend eternity with God in heaven. If we had no other reason to be thankful, we should be filled with gratitude every moment based on salvation. In fact, in John 3, 16 and 17, Jesus tells Nicodemus, you remember, you know, John 3, 16 is so famous, a lot of times people forget the context of what was going on. So Nicodemus, he's the teacher of Israel, he comes to the Lord at night, and he says, "For God so loved the world, Nicodemus, that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world might be saved through Him." And Paul, even speaking of this salvation, says in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. It's the gift of God, this is not your own doing. It's the gift of God." Aren't you glad it's not your own doing? Can you imagine how much you'd spend time at night awake, stressed out, if you thought your salvation was based on your own efforts, based on something you did or something that you could do? No, it's not your own doing. It's the gift of God, not of works, so that no one may boast. And then 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For our sake, He, God, made Him, Jesus, to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in Him, in Jesus, we might become the righteousness of God." And finally, I think Romans 6:23 couldn't present the situation and God's gift of salvation any more side by side when Paul says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." So we have more to fan the flame of thanksgiving, but we never have less than to be thankful for salvation. Number four, thank you, Lord, for total provision. Thank you, Lord, for total provision. Every need you and I have, fully supplied by God. Every need fully supplied. Philippians 4:19 is probably a verse you've either memorized or would be easy for you to do. And it comes from a man who knew what it was like to have just about anything and everything he needed. And then it was from the same man who knew what it was like to do without and to have hard times. And that man could say this. He could say, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus." So every person, if you look around this room, really any other room, every person in this room today is a living, breathing testimony to the full provision of God. Your life and mine serve as exhibit A that every need has been fully supplied. Now we might say, "Yeah, but I worked hard to get what I've got." You did, and I hope you did. But who gave you the ability to work? Who gave you the ability to work hard? God did. Who ordered the circumstance whereby you got hired, or maybe the ideas that led you to the business that you created, if that's your situation? You might say, "Yeah, but those were my ideas." Yeah, but who gave you the brain to be able to think of those ideas? Every situation, every circumstance, every piece of every puzzle that is your life and mine, we owe to God. We owe to God. In fact, listen to 2 Corinthians 9, 8, 11, and 12. And this is Paul speaking about being generous. This is Paul encouraging generosity. But listen to what undergirds this. He says, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work." All right? "You will be enriched," Paul says, "in every way to be generous in every way." Why? "Which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints," God knows we have needs, "but is also overflowing in" what? "Many thanksgivings to God." See, God's provision, God's generosity to us is to make us not only a thankful people, but a generous people, so we produce thankful hearts and we are witnessing to thankful hearts. Now, perhaps you might tend to think too much in the opposite direction. Maybe you don't struggle with the pride side of it. Maybe you're not over here going, "Yeah, but I did this, and I worked real hard, and these were my ideas." Maybe that's not you. Maybe you don't struggle with that. Maybe you struggle with how little you bring to the table. Perhaps you struggle seeing that you, trusting God's provision because you personally lack so much. Well, listen to 2 Corinthians 12:9. When Paul was struggling himself, he had a thorn in the flesh. He tried every way he could to deal with it himself. He even prayed to the Lord three times to remove this thorn. God speaks to him and he says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power or my strength is made perfect in weakness." So what does Paul do? He goes on at that point to boast and to brag and to give thanks and to express how thankful he was for weaknesses. You ever given thanks for weaknesses? You ever given thanks for the things you don't bring to the table? That's what Paul did. So it's good to live knowing that our so-called strengths and our so-called weaknesses, God will work with and through and in spite of to provide 100% everything we need. You know what else is included in God's full provision for you? Other people. Now, I know sometimes you're going, wait a minute, some of those gifts you don't always want, but other people are part of God's full provision for you. You have other fellow believers, so you never have to walk this road alone unless you choose to. And it saddens me to think, the reality is some people do. Many believers today choose to walk the road of faith alone. In fact, in Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, early on in chapter 1 and verse 15, he says, "For this reason, because I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you." See, part of God's full provision is experienced as you and I know each other and as we're known by each other. And while that extends to every Christian everywhere in the world, it's especially relevant to the local family of faith that you and I belong to, and everybody needs to belong to a local body of believers. But here's the deal, and I've said this before, and some of you will listen to me, and you'll walk out of here with no intention to do anything different. Here's the reality. 10:30 a.m. worship service on Sunday morning will never have you experiencing God's full provision. Not possible. Not possible. Will not. But the other ministries of the church will. In fact, also included in the others category is another person, and that's the person of the Holy Spirit. What a tremendous gift. In John 16, 13 through 15, Jesus says, "When the Spirit of truth comes, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me," Jesus says, "for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine," Jesus says. "Therefore, I said he will take what is mine and declare it to you." You see, the Holy Spirit's guidance, especially to the truth, he's the Spirit of truth, especially the truth, is a gift you and I can't put a price tag on. If you have the Holy Spirit of God, you don't know what it's like to not have the Holy Spirit of God. You don't know what it's like to have the Spirit of truth always guiding you, not just opening up the Word to you, but helping you understand what is true and what is not true in the world. The Holy Spirit's enlightening us, enlightening the Word to us, and leading us into all truth is what keeps us from being deceived. It's a scary proposition, but especially as we gather together and as we pray together, the Holy Spirit uses the Word and uses each other to keep us on the path of truth. In fact, when the psalmist says, "Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path," it's the Holy Spirit that turns the light on. We have the lamp, we have the light, but the Holy Spirit turns it on for us. Otherwise, we would walk in darkness, we'd make decisions based on that which is not true and build our lives on that which is not true. That's why you know people just like I do who were faithful to the Lord. They were part of a family of faith. They would worship the Lord. They would come to Bible study. They would come to fellowship. They were part of prayer groups. They would do all the things that the church was involved in, and then they slowly start slipping away. Something happens, they get hurt, there's a sin in their life they don't want to deal with, and they start kind of just leaving the fellowship. They start slowly, some jump way off, some slowly disappear, and over time you find out they're making decisions that they would have never made before. That's because they are walking in that darkness. We need each other. We need to believe that we can be deceived and that we need one another to help one another. And to be without the Spirit of truth is literally to live your whole life investing everything, all your time, all your talent, all your treasures given to you by God, in something that's ultimately going to fail to deliver. So thank God for his full provision. Number 5, a couple more and we're about done. Thank you, Lord, for every good gift. Thank you, Lord, for every good gift. I'll let you fill in the blank there, but James 1, 16 and 17 says this, do not be deceived. That's an interesting way to talk about good gifts. It says, do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In other words, you have a God that does not change, a God whose steadfast love endures forever, a God we're to give thanks for, and we have a God who gives us every good and perfect gift, but he says, do not be deceived about this. So what the deal is this, we are tempted to believe that the really good stuff comes from somewhere else, but it doesn't. And I think the longer you live, the longer you invest, the longer you walk with the Lord, the more you know this is true. Everything that is good in your life ultimately comes from God. Number six, thank you, Lord, for prayer. Thank you, Lord, for prayer. The privilege to speak directly to God is so incredible. Is it any wonder, Paul says, pray without ceasing? In fact, in Colossians 4:2, he says this, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. So we are grateful to God for prayer, and we're grateful to God in prayer. And finally, number seven, this might be my favorite one next to salvation. Thank you, Lord, for peace. Thank you, Lord, for peace. God and God alone grants true peace. Now, we're not always at peace, and we're not always experiencing the peace of God, but guess what? We can. We can. And thanksgiving, the expression of our thanks and having a thankful heart, is really key to having this peace. In Philippians 4, 6, and 7, the scripture says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with what? With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So thanksgiving is key there. Now listen to this. Thanksgiving is key here to peace. One more verse, Colossians 3, 15 through 17 says this, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful, number one. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with what? Thankfulness in your heart to God. So not only are we coming here to sing worship songs, we're to sing them with thanksgiving in our hearts. And he says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So if you want to know peace, if you want to experience the peace of God, be thankful. Give thanks to God. So what do we have here ultimately from 1 Thessalonians 5? Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. And I kind of see it in reverse. If we give thanks in all circumstances, well, to do that, you have to pray. So if you're giving thanks in all circumstances, that means you're praying without ceasing. And as we pray without ceasing, we'll experience the joy of the Lord. And when you experience the joy of the Lord, you'll rejoice always. As Carlos and the worship team come, we'll just give a brief invitation this morning. It's just really going to be more of a time of thanksgiving and a time of appreciation and a time of worshiping the Lord for all of his good gifts. But I want to invite you this morning to the altar again. You can give thanks to God where you're sitting, or you can give thanks to God here at the altar. But my question is this, what thanksgiving fills your heart today? What thanksgiving fills your heart today? How might you fan the flame of thanksgiving in your life? And then if I asked three people about you, or if I asked three people about me, and the question was, are you a thankful person? Is Gene a thankful person? What would they say? I just had, as all our other staff did, we just had the staff development team do their performance evaluations on us. And I will say that based on the staff development team's performance evaluation of me, I have probably never had a more thorough and powerful evaluation. Some of the things were very eye-opening for me, but all very helpful and very needed. So if you were asking someone to do your evaluation, would they say that they see you as a thankful person? If not, why not? We have so much to be thankful for. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you once again in the strong name of Jesus, and thank you just seems to be insufficient when we consider just a few of the blessings that you bestowed upon us. Lord, we do thank you for life, and we thank you for purpose, and we thank you for salvation. We thank you for taking us when we had no interest in you, we didn't have a desire to know you. You placed in us a faith. You placed in us an understanding of our need. You placed in us an understanding of how you and you alone meet our greatest need, forgiveness of sin, eternal life. And Lord, you give us hope, you give us joy, you give us peace, you give us every good gift. So thank you, thank you, thank you so much, Lord. It's just not enough. But Lord, may our lives be lives that say we are thankful people. May those who do not know you see us as people of thanksgiving, not just celebrating a holiday once a year, but literally being people that are so thankful and so filled with gratitude that when we're shaken, what pours out of us, what overflows from us is truly we are thankful to God. And one day, Lord, one day sooner than we think, we are going to stand before you and we're going to be even more thankful for Jesus who represents us. And then we're going to spend eternity around your throne, praising you, laying our crowns at your feet, giving thanks to you for who you are, for what you've done, for wiping every tear away, and for giving us every good gift. The ones we can see now and one day in heaven, I suspect, the ones we are not able to see even in our sin. So, Lord, we love you, we praise you, we thank you for this Thanksgiving service. And I pray, Lord God, that you would be honored and exalted in this time of worship. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.